The astonishing mass protests on the streets of Hong Kong have demonstrated, quite literally, a fierce resistance against the influence of the Communist Party of China. Hong Kong's protesters were both fearful and adamant that the introduction of a new extradition law would mark the beginning of a slippery slope towards the end of democracy. But what bearing should the protests have on Australia's relationship with China? There are long-standing concerns over Chinese influence, foreign investment and political donations here. So is it time for Australia to be more Hong Kong? And if so, why and how? Chris Yuleman is the political editor at Nine News and has written about this. Chris, thanks for coming on the program.
G'day, Pico.
Help me unpack the comparison with Hong Kong for us a little more. What do you mean here?
Well, I was simply making the point in what I wrote for the Sydney Morning Herald that what is it that terrifies the people of Hong Kong about the Chinese Communist Party that eludes so many pliant Australian academics, business leaders and ex-politicians here? There's clearly something about the Chinese Communist Party that is terrifying the people of Hong Kong. And yet, if you listen to some of the people who are advocates here and some of them paid advocates here, there is nothing at all that we need to worry about the Chinese Communist Party. Well, I think that we do. That doesn't mean that we should be standing in the way of China's rise, because simply we can't. But we should at least be observant about the way that they're behaving, both inside their borders and outside their borders. And because of that, I think there are lots of questions for Australia that are yet to be answered.
What do you make of the government's response to what we've seen on the streets in Hong Kong?
Are pretty muted, but then again, I don't think that the Australian government should always be rushing out to criticise the Chinese Communist Party or China. I don't think that necessarily we have to buy into what's going on there. Yet, clearly, there is an Australian interest there. There are 100,000 Australian citizens who are in Hong Kong, and there's a human interest that we should all share, and that's that the people of Hong Kong don't necessarily want to be exposed to the legal system of China. And you know, there's an Australian citizen at the moment who's been held there since January, which we never hear about. That does bother me about the Australian government, that we have yet to hear them speak up on his behalf.
You're right. We don't hear a lot about that story. Why is that?
Because we're told that quiet diplomacy will work in this instance, and that's the way that we should deal with China. But that's essentially what China is demanding of us, and what the many advocates in Australia are demanding of the Australian government, that if we ever have any issue with the Chinese Communist Party, that we should settle it behind closed doors. Now, I think that's pretty much all the Chinese Communist Party wants of us. So it doesn't want us to complain about the South China Sea, for example, the fact that it occupied and militarised that space across our major trade route. We should say nothing. It doesn't want us to speak about the million Uyghurs who are being held in Xinjiang province now against their will for the simple crime of being Muslims. And it doesn't want us to speak up about what it might do in Hong Kong and what it intends to do in Taiwan. And on all these issues, I think we have a real and genuine interest, because it also doesn't want us to speak about what it does inside our own borders to quieten dissent inside the Chinese-Australian diaspora. And we've presented plenty of evidence that there are real issues there.
You also implied that critics of Australia's intelligence agencies are willfully blind. What do you mean by that?
Well, what is it about what the people of Hong Kong see that the people who are in our, you know, in some many academics that I've spoken to, great many of our business leaders, ex-politicians, some of whom are being paid to work on behalf of China, or who have been in the past, don't ever want us to criticise what's before. It's absolutely before us. So since about 2014 or 2015, I've written extensively on political interference in Australia. I think that the jury is absolutely in on the fact that that was happening. We have the example of Sam Dastyari, but there are others. I can give you examples of where Chinese Australians have been silenced by the apparatus of the Chinese state here. They've now moved into almost every Chinese language newspaper and media outlet in Australia, runs Beijing's line. I know of Chinese Australian journalists who have been threatened by the Chinese state police inside our borders for writing a story about the Falun Gong. I know of one woman, and I can't actually do this story because of her fear for her family, because when she was contacted in Australia by the Chinese state police, and they said, we want you to come back to China to talk about the stories that you've been writing on the Falun Gong, She said, I'm not intending to return to China. Then they gave her her mother's full name and address and said that they looked forward to the conversation when she returned. She moved on from that media organisation because of her fear for her family.
There's a lot at stake here. We have a strong economic tie, obviously, with China, and we have been treading a very careful line because of that economic relationship. Are we getting that line right?
No, I don't think that Australia does have a China policy or a China strategy. I think that you could be best described in the way that Tony Abbott described it when asked by Angela Merkel what our strategy was. And he paused for a moment and told her, well, fear and greed. We oscillate between those two things. We haven't yet worked out how to deal with this. Now, we obviously have to get on with China. China is a presence which we can't ignore. It is our largest trading partner. But we find ourselves in this extraordinary circumstance, which is for the first time in our history, our largest trading partner isn't a liberal democracy, and it is a strategic rival with the United States, which is our major strategic partner. So we keep saying that we don't have to choose. Well, let me tell you that both China and the United States believe that Australia does have to choose, and it will constantly force this government and governments in future into positions where it has to make a choice. Now, unfortunately, we have a mercurial US president who cannot be relied on. So Australia cannot rely on the US alliance in the way that it once did. And we have a president for life on the other side who is pushing ever harder in China. So this is a time that will require great statesmanship on behalf of Australia. And I don't know that we're up to it.